welcome to whatever is lovely, true, and awesome. I'm your host, Samantha Grace. This is the podcast where I talk about uplifting stories from the news, profile migraine sufferers in the public eye, and share inspiring song lyrics / poetry / quotes. This podcast is for those of us who deal with chronic pain or anyone who wants to hear positive stories. My lovely story today is about a 10-year-old boy who joined his Cub Scout pack to march in a parade in Belmont, Massachusetts. And all of a sudden, this 10-year-old boy was being pelted with rocks and bottles thrown from the crowd. And his Cub Scout pack leaders circled around him to protect him from the debris. When the boy went home to his parents, his father explained why the crowd had chosen him, a 10-year-old boy, as the target of their anger. It was because he was black. And this 10-year-old boy's name is Daryl Davis. So as an adult, Daryl became a successful musician and traveled around with a country music band. In an interview on the show All Things Considered on the radio station NPR, Davis relays this story. So one night, after performing at an all-white bar in Frederick, Maryland, he was approached by a man who commented that that was the first time he had heard a black man play as well as Jerry Lee Lewis. So Davis responded by saying that Lewis was a friend of his, and Lewis learned to play from black blues and boogie-woogie piano players. Then the man admitted that this was the first time he ever sat down for a drink with a black man. And Daryl Davis was totally confused by this because he had traveled all over the world and sat with thousands of white people for food or a drink. And finally, the man admitted, "I'm a member of the Ku Klux Klan," which Daryl laughed in disbelief in response until the man showed him his KKK membership card. And here's an extended quote from the interview on All Things Considered. Daryl says, "And now I'm wondering, why am I sitting by a Klansman? But he was very friendly. It was the music that brought us together. He wanted me to call him and let him know any time I was going to return to this bar with this band. The fact that a Klansman and black person could sit down at the same table and enjoy the same music, that was a seed planted. So what do you do when you plant a seed? You nourish it. That was the impetus for me to write a book. I decided to go around the country and sit down with Klan leaders and Klan members to find out, how can you hate me when you don't even know me?" So Daryl decides to learn as much as he can about the KKK. He learned about the organization, their belief system, and he prepared himself in case things got physical with a KKK member. And the Klan members he met with were impressed by his knowledge of the KKK. He went on to develop relationships with over 20 members. And Davis also claims to have been responsible for around 40 to 60 people and indirectly responsible for 200 people abandoning the racist group. And he did write a book titled Clandestine Relationships, A Black Man's Odyssey in the Ku Klux Klan. He released the book in 1998. And a documentary film about his one-man crusade was released in 2016. It's titled Accidental Courtesy, Daryl Davis, Race, and America. And I really like one thing he said in the NPR interview. Quote, "I didn't convert anybody. They saw the light and converted themselves." My sources for this story are All Things Considered on NPR, Wikipedia, and an article by McKinley Corbley on goodnewsnetwork.org. For the true section of the podcast, today I'm talking about La La Anthony. You might know her as a former MTV VJ, host of VH1 reality TV reunion shows like Flavor of Love, I Love New York, For the Love of Ray J, etc. Or for her role as Lakeisha Grant in the Starz original drama series Power. And she's also famous for her marriage to NBA star Carmelo Anthony. And they had a reality show about their relationship. And she also is famous for her friendship with another reality TV star, Kim Kardashian. So in various interviews, she mentions having migraines as long as she can recall, specifically the last 10 years. She lists cigarette smoke, low blood sugar, and dehydration as the main triggers for her migraines. And as for stress being a trigger, she says, "I think now everyone says stress is the trigger for every little thing. I've had some of my best days where I feel zero amount of stress and still get a migraine, so I don't know how much that is related to it. I think it's a part of who I am, and I've just learned to manage it." So I can certainly understand her frustration about determining your triggers. It can feel like you're trying to untangle a bowl of spaghetti, and the bowl of spaghetti never ends, and there's no untangling it. Lala Anthony felt the familiar beginnings of a migraine as she was leaving for the infamous Met Gala, which is a big fundraiser for the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute in New York City. So Lala popped two Excedrin migraine and was able to enjoy the Met Gala migraine free. Unfortunately, she can recall many times when she wasn't able to catch the migraine in time. And she says, "There were so many times that I couldn't go out with my family, missed concerts, or wasn't emotionally present for a family reunion." And the interviews that I found where she talks about her migraines, she also mentions that she is a paid representative for Excedrin Migraine. And at the time, they were doing a promotion called Excedrin Take Two program. So basically her, Whitney Port, another reality star, and some social media influencers all advertised for this program. And they wanted to get submissions from real-life migraine sufferers about events they had missed because of a migraine. Then Excedrin would come in and help them recreate that event. I tried to find, you know, where is the proof that they got to recreate these events, and they didn't have anything on the Excedrin website. I did find like an advertisement for the program, a short film that they had done on Vimeo, but I didn't see anything about the actual outcome. So that was a little frustrating. I wish I had been able to see that. And like many of us, Anthony has had to miss personal events, but she has chosen not to miss work events. She says, "I've never not shot because I will push through no matter what. I understand the value of production. I know what shutting down a day does to a production, but there have been other moments where I just could not do other stuff that day. Whether it was doing something with my son, which is a disappointment to have missed that moment just because you're not feeling well from a migraine, it really changes your day. You never know when it's going to happen. So all of a sudden you have this great day, and then boom, within an hour, your entire day shifts from being amazing to being like the worst day ever." So I can really relate to that whole quote. Migraines are emotionally exhausting, and, you know, wondering when the next one is going to happen can create a lot of anxiety. Luckily, her 12-year-old son, Kyan, is very understanding when she has a migraine. He says, "You just need to rest, turn the lights off, don't do too much. If you need anything, let me know." So she's really lucky that her young son understands how debilitating migraines can be. And my sources for this story are Parade.com, an article by Shamika Rhimes, Wikipedia, HelloBeautiful.com, an article by Kelly Terrell, and AthleisureMag.com. For my song today, I'm going to be reading the lyrics for "What a Wonderful World" by Louis Armstrong. or rather sung by Louis Armstrong. It wasn't written by him. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're only saying, I love you. I see babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn so much more than I'll ever know. Then I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're only saying, I love you. I see babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn so much more than I'll ever know. Then I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Then I think to myself, what a wonderful world. So I hope you enjoyed the episode today. This is my third week of releasing an episode on a Friday. This week it was a little more challenging. There's just so much going on. I hope that everybody is finding time to, you know, practice some self-care, whether it's taking a walk or making sure that you're drinking enough water or taking 5 minutes to do some deep breathing. All of those things are really helpful, and I hope that, you know, everyone is able to carve out some sanity in this insane time. So thank you so much for listening. And if you want to correspond with me, my email is whateverislovely@att.net. I've got my Instagram, whateverislovelytrueawesome, where you can check out the mantras. I did watercolor paintings, just, you know, like a image of the mantra. I painted around it. So we've got those. And thank you. And until next time, take care of yourself.